Welcome back to what, Carrie?
Welcome back to Kicking and Streaming, where life is suffering, it is hard, the world is cursed.
Period.
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Hayao Miyazaki.
No, you are not.
I'm Ross.
And this week we are talking about the 1997 Studio Ghibli masterpiece, Princess Mononoke.
A masterpiece?
This is one of his best movies, objectively.
Happy anime, little onions. We're keeping it rolling here this week.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
God.
The weeb has got me going.
Your royal weebiness.
Before we get started, everybody, don't forget to go follow us on Twitter at KickNStream.
That's a K-I-C-K-N and S-T-R-E-A-M.
You can write the show at kickingandstreamingpodcast@gmail.com.
And that's with an and, not an ampersand.
And don't forget, folks, please be practicing the three R's, rate, review, retweet.
Rate, review, retweet. Folks, we want everyone to come and join our little anime watch party. It's gonna get super weeby on main feed. Weeaboo, I wub you, weeaboo.
Thank you. And don't forget, go check out the Patreon.
Guys, for just $5 a month, you too can be a Little Onion contributor at the $5 level. You're getting access to all of our bonus content. We're doing all of our television coverage over there. All of our long-form coverage over there. We literally did every single episode of HBO's John Adams and Netflix's The Haunting of Hill House. We did all 10,856 minutes of the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings trilogy. God. Carrie Ann didn't suffer for 5 months for nothing. So go check that out, guys. It's just $5. You pay that $5, you sign up, become a Little Onion, and you are going to get access to more than 2 years' worth of content.
All right. You ready?
Ooh.
In a time when gods walk the earth, an epic battle rages between the encroaching civilization of man and the gods of the forest.
When the forest has been cleared and the wolves wiped out, this place will be the richest land in the world.
Now, the fate of the world rests on the courage of one fearless princess.
I'm not afraid to die, and I would do anything to get the humans out of here.
And one brave warrior.
You fight like a demon, boy, like something possessed.
What exactly are you here for?
To see with eyes unclouded by hate.
Now watch closely, everyone. I'm going to show you how to kill a god.
Fire!
Billy Crudup, Claire Danes, Minnie Driver, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Billy Bob Thornton.
You cannot alter your fate, however. You can rise to meet it if you choose.
Princess Mononoke.
This was a first for moi. I've never seen the Princess Mononoke.
I think I saw this when I was in high school. I had to have been in high school. It is one of the more mature Miyazaki films, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had totally forgotten how violent this movie is.
I mean, hey, made $170 million. So,
yeah.
By the way, this is plagiarism.
How is it plagiarism?
It's not. I wrote this story.
You did?
Yeah.
When?
In my creative writing class in high school.
You wrote a story.
A lot of the similar pangs and themes of this narrative, I wrote a story about it.
Really?
Independently.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know what Princess Mononoke was 10 years ago. Like, fuck, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no, I've been out of high school that long.
Yeah. You are literally that Michael Scott meme where he's like, I conceived of a unicorn in my head. It already existed, but I arrived at it independently.
My favorite thing about that is that you're combining two different references.
Wait, no, I'm combining The Office and Mad Men.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's just perfect. I think Pete Campbell and Michael Scott should get together and have a drink. Like,
God. Obviously, we've done Miyazaki movies on this podcast before. We covered Spirited Away.
See Anime 1.0.
Yeah, 1.0.
Three years ago.
Also, also covered Howl's Moving Castle.
Yes, we did.
Two of my favorites. This has never been a favorite of mine. I still think it's objectively one of his best films. The thing that I always struggled with this movie when I was younger is that it is kind of difficult to know who's right or wrong exactly.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is my first viewing. There's not a clear villain. They're all doing bad things. They're all doing good things. Like, who am I supposed to root for?
I think, you know, ideally you would not root for the humans. We do tend to be abusing the earth. But on the other hand, like, they're still trying to do good while they're destroying the earth. And so a lot of misguided nonsense happening today.
What? Also, dubbing things makes for some awkward script writing. Hayao Miyazaki, of course, wrote this screenplay, but Neil Gaiman, he wrote the English dub for it.
Yeah.
Mr. Gaiman, I'm confident you've been mentioned on this podcast before, but I just can't find out where right now.
It's okay.
Let us know at Kick End Stream if you guys figure it out.
Yeah.
But no, I hate to go back to it, but like, I literally wrote a story about how humans in a deforested? I literally wrote a story about how humans in a deforested area and creatures that live in the woods can't get along.
Yeah, no.
And
tale as old as time.
And, like, I know it's different, but, and I know that I've bitched and moaned. I've been a bitcher and a moaner so far this month. Anime's not super my thing. I do love me some Ghibli. Carrie Ann is her royal weebiness. I am but a willing subject.
A willing subject. You took a minute to come up with that word.
I don't know if I could say loyal, but I'm a willing subject.
Okay.
But what I will not be accused of is not being interested, because ever since we got into anime the first time we did it on this podcast, I did get really interested in Japanese lore.
Yeah.
And that this film deals a lot with Japanese lore.
Yep, Japanese lore, Shinto folklore. And also, obviously, deep, deep themes of environmentalism.
Mm.
People quit abusing the earth.
Eat your heart out, Dr. Seuss.
Guys, also returning from the production side this week, we have Joe Hisaishi back doing our score.
Because of the Ghibli of it all?
Yes, because of the Ghibli of it all.
Yeah, I think Miyazaki has his faves and he likes to use them.
Folks, you might have guessed it, but we've got some names this week. Again, I'm going to give you the character, the Japanese voice actor, and the English dub actor. Playing our hero, Ashitaka Today.
Which is what the film should just be called.
Instead of Princess Mononoke.
Like, Akira should have just been called Kaneda, but like, whatever.
Originally playing Prince Ashitaka, we have Yoji Matsuda. And today he is being voiced by Billy Crudup, who has been with us at least once.
He was with us when we did Big Fish.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. He's the quote hero in Big Fish.
I also just want to say that he's the amalgamation interviewer in Jackie.
Yes.
Natalie Portman.
Yes,
he
is.
This piano was designed by Franklin Roosevelt with the Eagles support.
Some of you might know him as the blue guy from Watchmen.
He's from Almost Famous, Alien Covenant, Public Enemies, Mission Impossible 3.
Check it out.
And God, he was just yummy in the 90s.
He was. Yeah. He was.
And he, you know, he just got married.
Really?
Yeah, to Naomi Watts.
Hey!
And he was also married to Claire Danes.
Oh, really?
And Mary Louise Parker.
Speaking of Claire Danes. Originally playing San, the titular Princess Mononoke, we have Yuriko Ishida, and she is played today by Claire Danes.
Claire Danes has been with us on the show before.
Has she?
She was with us when we covered The Hours.
Ah, yes.
She's Meryl Streep's daughter, yes, in The Hours. You will also know her from Baz Luhrmann's wild adaptation of Romeo and Juliet.
I can't wait to cover that!
She's in the 94 version of Little Women. She's in The Rainmaker. Terminator 3.
Yeah. Are you just going to say every threequel that way?
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 3.
That would be a fun month. Threequels. Only threequels.
Ew. Voicing Lady Ibashi, originally we had Yuko Tanaka, And today we have Minnie Driver, who has definitely been on the podcast before.
She was with us when we covered La Phantom della Opera.
She was our prima donna.
Yeah, she was Carlotta Giudicelli. You will also know her from... You'll know her from Ella Enchanted, which we must do on this podcast.
Yes.
You'll know her from Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm. She's the voice of Jane in Tarzan.
She certainly is, isn't she?
Yep.
Isn't she?
Playing Jigo, an opportunistic monk, originally we had Kaoru Kobayashi, and today we have Billy Bob Thornton.
I have nothing to say.
You have nothing to say?
No.
About Sling Blade? You don't want to talk about Sling Blade?
He makes me so uncomfortable.
Because of Sling Blade or just in general?
No, you just know that...
Something's not right.
You just know there's something up.
Okay.
With Billy Bob Thornton.
All right.
And I am basing it mostly on the footage of him... when he was fucking Angelina Jolie and they got out of the car at a premiere and he willingly told the interviewer they had sex in the limo on the way over.
Oh.
That's just not something you say out loud.
Oh, and he's to an interviewer.
He's on his sixth wife.
Okay.
And I don't even care to tell you about his credits.
I didn't know this was Drag Billy Bob Thornton Day.
I don't like him.
It's okay. It's fine. Jigo's not very likable, so no problems there.
So, yeah.
Playing Toki in the original Japanese dub, we have Sumi Shimamoto. And today, we have Jada Pinkett Smith.
I also have nothing to say. You know what? I do have one thing to say.
What?
I love The Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
And I love Madagascar.
Uh-huh.
Those are the two things I will love her in.
Okay. Everything else, just boo.
Non-fictional Jada Pinkett Smith, I have no care for.
Okay. Playing Koroku in the original Japanese version, we have Masahiko Nishimura. And today, we have John DeMita. This was one of the only names I had no reference for.
If we Naruto run, we can be faster than their bullets.
Oh, Dosu Kinuta. I don't know who that is.
Yeah,
on Naruto.
Oh, Dosu Kinuta.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But yeah, he's an anime dub voice actor, so mm-hmm. That makes sense. One of my favorite voice roles today, playing Ganza, Lady Ibashi's Captain of the Guard. Originally, it was Sunehiko Kamijo, and today, it's John DiMaggio.
And tell us why you love.
John DiMaggio is the voice of Jake from Adventure Time, and he's the voice of Bender from Futurama.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many other things.
Like, so many other things.
Like, he has got a very diverse portfolio, like Tom Kenny levels of diverse.
As in, we don't have time, so many other things.
Yeah, exactly. Playing Moru, the giant wolf god. Originally, it was Akihiro Miwa, and today, it's Gillian Anderson.
Please welcome her
please.
To Kicking and Streaming.
Okay.
I can't believe it's in fucking anime, but like, yeah, she's Dana Scully from The X-Files,
okay, so
guys.
She's Scully. Got it.
Yeah, she's also from The House of Mirth. I love her as British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in the fourth season of The Crown. Sex Education. She's been doing a lot lately. She's got re-prominent,
mm-hmm.
You know, like.
All right, just a couple more here. Originally voicing Okoto, the boar god, we have Hisaya Morishige. And in today's episode, he'll be voiced by Keith David.
As in, we don't have time, Keith David.
Like, one of the sexiest sounding men on the face of the planet. And then one honorable mention, playing Hisama originally, we had Mitsuko Mori. And today she's voiced by Debbie Derryberry.
Please welcome her back to Kicking and Streaming because she's the voice of Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius.
Yes, that's right. I love her.
I just want to say for the record once again that I am very much into the mystical lore of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating place.
It is so fascinating.
Japan is just that place, you know? We begin with some voiceover, don't we?
Oh, God. Right off the bat, we've got a narrator calling humanity out directly for deforestation. And in fairness, that's so on us, you know? Yep.
Remember when we talked about contagion?
Yeah.
And the deforestation?
This is how plagues happen.
And the look at it's freaking bats, and they're dropping their diseases into your food.
All the wild boar.
Oh,
my God.
I know.
Back then, man and beast lived in harmony. But as time went by, most of the great forests were destroyed. Those that remained were guarded by gigantic beasts who owed their allegiance to the great forest spirit. For those were the days of gods and of demons.
Yakul is immediately my favorite character.
You like Yakul?
And he will remain so.
Yakul the Red Elk. Okay, So hold on. You're ahead of me, but I understand. Yakul is very adorable.
What a fast fucking animal.
Yeah!
So let's talk about where and when we are.
We are in the late Muromachi period of Japan, like somewhere between the mid-1300s and the late 1500s. Mm-hmm. So medieval Japan. We are in an Emishi village. Emishi are actually an ancient ethnic group in Japan. Like, they're a real thing. How close it is to the Emishi in this movie, I can't say, but they are hunters, gatherers, farmers, known for their skill in archery, particularly from horseback. That was hard to do. Can you imagine trying to line up an arrow when you're going up and down on a horse?
I couldn't possibly fathom.
And we meet Ashitaka, the last Emishi prince. His people were all but wiped out about 500 years ago when their lands were conquered.
Imagine that.
Yeah, and he's great with a bow and arrow. He can shoot it from the back of a running elk. This is Yakul. Like you said, he's adorable and will be with us throughout.
I love him.
I was so worried that something bad was going to happen to the elk. I really was.
Yeah, me too. Immediately.
I'm getting Artak flashbacks. I don't need this.
Protect that elk.
And Ashitaka is trying to make sure everybody gets back to the village because there is a disturbance in the forest.
Yeah, something's going on in the woods. Like, we can't detect life in the woods anymore. Like, what's going on?
Like, this thing that's moving through the woods looks like a mound of worms.
Yeah, there's a slug pig crawling out of the woods.
Yeah, and it's killing everything in its path.
Or a glizzy hog, or a...
Glizzy hog!
Nopey boar, I don't know.
I wrote a boar, worm, demon, boar covered in worms? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, worm boar.
This nothingness that we see encircling this boar, it's a type of spirit created from an onryo. We learned about onryo in The Blue-Eyed Samurai, right? Remember?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't cover it here, but yeah.
No, but when we watched it.
Uh-huh.
A vengeful spirit.
It's headed for the village. I've got to stop it.
Prince Ashitaka, wait! Be careful! That thing is cursed! Don't let it touch you!
And so the worm boar is headed for the village, and Ashitaka goes after it, and this gorgeously animated chase sequence ensues.
The way Yakul is leaping down that mountain! They're so quick!
He fast!
Talk about Naruto! They are faster than their bullets.
I feel like that's not the last time Naruto's gonna come up in this episode.
I'm sorry, if a pig slug crawled out of the forest, I would not be okay just, like, talking to it willy-nilly.
Yeah, like, or, like, hunting it down.
Or asking it for anything when it's after me. Like,
he can't let this demon touch him either in any way because it's going to curse him. Like, this is a documented thing that happens to people. And, you know, he manages to bring that thing down by shooting it in the eye, but the demon gets close enough that it wraps itself around his arm and curses his arm.
Just the glizzies.
Yeah, the glizzy.
Worm, the glizzy worms.
Yes.
Ew,
I'm sorry. That's the cursed part.
Yeah, cursed worms.
Yeah, the cursed worms
of the onryo.
And the villagers and the wise woman arrive on the scene, and immediately the wise woman is going over to the demon's body and saying, I'm so sorry we had to kill you. Please don't haunt us.
That's such a large animal.
I know!
And then Carrie?
Uh-huh. Did you shit your pants?
The way the voice escapes from the mouth of the piggy!
This thing opens its mouth and speaks!
A mound will be raised and funeral rites performed on this ground where you have fallen. Pass on in peace and bear us no hatred.
Disgusting little creatures. Soon all of you will feel my hate and suffer as I have suffered.
And then it melts away!
The flesh completely disintegrates from the bones.
Melts away.
It's like looking at one of those, you know, time-lapse footages of, like, bugs eating, like, an apple or something. Just all the flesh just completely gone.
Yuck!
I wrote Jesus backflipping Christ. And guys, it just gets worse, because later that night, after some light divination, the wise woman discerns that the boar was driven mad by a poison inside of him, right? In the form of this little iron ball that was in his system when he died.
Oh my God.
And like, just, they're not 100% sure what this is, why it caused him to die.
There is evil at work in the land to the west, Prince Ashitaka. It's your fate to go there and see what you can see with eyes unclouded by hate. You may find a way to lift the curse, you understand?
Yes.
Even though he's the last prince of the Emishi people, he's going to be banished from his community because he's cursed. It's not because, you know, they got no love for him or anything. He just can't be here anymore because he might curse someone else.
Why does he have to cut his hair?
Actually, cutting the hair is rather symbolic in Japanese culture. It's typically associated with the end of an era to your life, like you're in transition.
I couldn't hack it in the East. I'd be bald.
Yeah. Yeah. Originally, I think it was samurai who came up with that. When a samurai would step down from his position, he would cut his top knot and signify the end of his capacity. Guys, he's got a little sister he has to leave.
Yeah, that's a plot point that's just dropped in the bucket and never seen again.
Poor Kaya.
I don't know what that's about. The way Hisama's like, you're dead to us. Don't ever come back. And I was like, what the fuck did he do? All he did was save their asses, and they're banishing him for it.
I know. You're mad.
This is bullshit.
It is.
But you're just going to move on, you know.
It's their law. I don't make the laws.
What does the little sister give him?
Her crystal dagger
mm-hmm.
that she made herself. It's so cute.
Your crystal dagger. Kaya, I can't take this.
Please keep it with you, brother, to protect you. You must take it with you. Please, I want you to have it so you won't forget.
Kaya, you know I could never forget you.
I guess the West is just where the evil comes from, I guess, because we're headed west.
Yeah, something's happening out there. Something is perverting the wildlife in the West.
And this is where I wrote, God, Ghibli art is just the best.
It is! All those landscapes.
Oh, God, it's almost like there are just stills from this. I'm like, God, that could be a picture. Yeah. That could be an actual photograph.
Like,
I know it's animated intellectually, but like, it's just the way everything flows together. I like to think that he animates the entire movie by himself. I like to think that he draws every single frame by hand himself.
I mean,
I know that's not how it's done, but
if you've ever seen him in like documentary footage, he looks like someone who would animate the whole movie himself.
He just looks like one of those crazy people that has the time, you know, like
he's very passionate about what he does. And guys, in this part of the country, there's definitely some conflict concerning Lord Asano, who is a daimyo, which is basically a Japanese regional lord.
If you've ever heard of a shogunate, that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
Throughout Japanese history, there were many different shogunates that ruled throughout the entirety of the islands.
And he's got an army of deadly samurai. Ashitaka comes into this valley and interrupts some kind of attack by Lord Asano's samurai. Like, these men are running around killing women and children.
So we're going to send some arrows flying.
Guys, they set eyes on Ashitaka. He knocks an arrow in his bow to defend himself. And this is where we realize the curse gave him superhuman strength.
Yeah.
He fires that arrow at that guy about to cut that woman in half. Both his arms come off.
Let me pass! I'm warning you!
These arrows are taking off whole appendages.
Yeah!
He takes a guy's head off.
Yeah, he crits him!
With one arrow.
Just flip!
I'm not talking about puncturing his head. The whole head comes off.
Decapitated.
You know how fast that arrow was going?
Obviously, none of these armed men want anything to do with him after that, so they fuck off and let him pass through. And he goes to a nearby village to resupply. And by the time he gets there, he's already a legend, because people saw what he did out there on the battlefield, including this little creep by the name of Jigo. Jigo's a monk, but he doesn't really act like one.
How am I supposed to take this seriously? How in God's good green Japan am I supposed to take the Billy Bob Thornton monk seriously?
I'm with you. I don't know that I would have necessarily chosen Billy Bob Thornton. I would have gone with somebody who was a little older.
The way he's delivering these lines, I'm just like...
He's out of place.
Did he have nothing to do?
You're a man of few words. I understand. Well, don't you even think of thanking me. It was my pleasure. In fact, I should be thanking you, really. You see, I was caught in that battle. I saw what you did to those samurai. You fight like a demon. Where'd you learn to fight like that?
Jigo's character gives, what is that guy's name from Harry Potter?
Krampus.
No,
I'm kidding.
Mundungus Fletcher. He's giving Fletcher for me. Like, he's opportunistic.
Oh, just look at me, Wes, and jargon, Allie. It's a mystery ad comes up and asks to see me license.
He's got no real sense of loyalty. He's out for himself. And Jigo kind of barnacles himself to Ashitaka. He doesn't ask if he can come with Ashitaka, but Ashitaka's not saying no either.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jigo's a little greasy, but at least he can cook.
Yeah, that's right. No, he is constantly slurping it back. Ooh. He is making nudes left and right.
Nudes and rice.
Nudes and rice. And you know what? He's telling Ashitaka that, you know what, dude? The world's kind of a filthy, goddamn helpless place. And there's actually angry ghosts everywhere because we won't stop being ugly to the planet and to each other.
Which is an odd thing for him to say, given the rest of this narrative.
Again, the villainy in this movie is just misplaced. I don't know.
Ashitaka shows Jigo the iron ball that was in the boar's stomach. Jigo doesn't know what it is, even though I think it's pretty obvious.
It came from the giant boar. It was inside him, and I'm sure it was that little ball of iron that killed him.
There's a place high in the mountains, far to the west of here. It's where the spirit of the forest dwells, and it's a very dangerous place for humans. To enter there is certain death.
The spirit of the forest?
I've been told the beasts there are all giants, just as they were in the dawn of time.
He thinks that the great spirit of the forest might be able to help Ashitaka out. Because, like, that's pretty much the only way he's going to get rid of this curse before it kills him, is by seeking out some kind of supernatural magic. So Ashitaka sets off first thing in the morning to go look for the great spirit of the forest. And we immediately cut to villagers going up the side of a mountain, toting a supply chain, right?
Like, being directed by a woman.
Oh, yeah.
In this century? She must have some balls.
Lady Eboshi. I don't know.
I mean, I'd let Minnie Driver yell at me while I get whipped up a mountain. I would. I really would. Like,
and it's raining, and she is standing there just supervising with her captain of the guard, Gonza, John DiMaggio.
I tell you what, rice was everything.
Oh, yeah.
Rice is the... I'm Gerald O'Hara. Rice is the only thing that matters. Rice is the only thing that lasts.
Yeah. Like, no, key part of the diet.
I mean, hey, I get it. They're getting all these supplies to the certain direction they need to go, right?
Yeah, they're going towards Irontown, which is where they all live. And guys, this is when you notice that there are no trees on this mountainside. Everything is clear-cut and burnt.
Burnt up.
To a crisp. Burn as a damn biscuit. Sorry.
You got any more of those in you?
No!
Burnt at both ends.
And, sorry, not laughing at the deforestation.
Charred and barbecued up. Dehydrated.
All right.
Anyway.
That's enough.
No life. No life in your bright blue eyes.
Because there's no foliage, everybody can see two big wolves starting to come after them at the rear.
There are two wolves inside of you, and they both want rice.
Yeah. And one of them is being ridden by a person wearing a mask and an animal pelt.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool looking. And they start firing cannons at the wolves, but the wolves are too quick. And there's a reason for that. Turns out the two wolves are just the distraction.
Yes.
The real attack is coming from behind them in the form of a wolf the size of a Ford F-150.
It's a god. It's a god. And the name of this god is Gillian Anderson.
Also known as Moro.
Moro, yes.
In the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's Moro!
Oh.
come on.
Lady Eboshi grabs one of those cannons and puts a hole in that giant wolf and sends it careening over the edge of the cliff. And they're like, oh, great! We killed it! And she's like, oh, no, she's a god. It's going to take more than one.
This is the casual approach. Oh, yeah, we were just attacked by gods. Yeah, no, those are just the gods.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean?
She's hundreds of years old.
Well, yeah. I feel like she'd have to be.
Yeah. So there were some men that were, like, injured in that attack. They got thrown into the river or something.
Yeah.
And Ashitaka comes upon them in the riverbed. They're injured, and he pulls them out of there. And that's...
Happy bare minimum day.
What's he gonna do? Let them drown?
I'm not a fucking monster. Like, yeah.
Speaking of monsters, this is when he sees Moro on the other bank, on the opposite bank. Moro has two young pups. Those were the two dogs that were causing the distraction. Wolves, not dogs. And she has a human child as well.
Does she have origins, or do we need to discuss those later?
Oh, no, she has origins. We can discuss them now. Her parents were part of the whole effort to deforest the land, mm-hmm. like ruining the forest.
Oh.
And when Moro was like, hey, stop fucking up my house, they threw this baby at her so she would eat the baby and they could get away.
Oh, no wonder we have hatred for people.
Yeah,
well,
no. Yeah, no.
So this is the Princess Mononoke.
Mononoke.
Yes.
Yes. This is San. That's her actual name. It's a little confusing, but her name is San. And it's just incredible to me how she goes up to this wolf and immediately starts sucking the blood out of the wound like she's trying to get the poison out.
Is that what she's doing?
She is. She's sucking the blood out and spitting it.
I literally thought she was reaching inside the wound to get out whatever's in it.
Oh, no, she is...
Like Jackie O getting the brains off the back of the Lincoln, you
oh,
know?
Oh, God.
Like, sorry,
He stands up on that rock to address her.
My name is Ashitaka. I've traveled far from lands to the east. Are you ancient gods, and have I come at last to the realm of the spirit of the forest?
That iconic image of her standing in front of Moro with the blood smeared across her face, it's so badass.
Go away!
And she tells him categorically, go away.
Yeah, no, don't want it. Don't need you here.
Oh, she does not like humans.
But he's cute.
He is cute. And believe me, she's going to soften on this before it's all over. One of those injured guys, like, yells out, this is Koroku. He is freaking out because he's come to and noticed that there are tree spirits starting to form around him.
These are just about the cutest, creepiest things I've ever seen.
The Kodama. These things give the trees personality. They're like for old special trees that have like the memory of the world in them. And they make this cute but distressing little clicking noise.
Yeah, no, I'd probably run.
He's a tree spirit. He brings good luck. It's a sign this forest is healthy.
But they'll lead their lord and master right to us.
Who do you mean? You mean those wolves I just saw?
No, I mean a real monster, like a huge, enormous deer, except they say it's got a human face sometimes, and then at night they say it's... Ah! Where'd it go? Ah! Look! Reinforcements! We're doomed! Oh, no!
If Yakul's not afraid, then we have nothing to worry about here.
Ashitaka asks them for permission to pass through the forest. It is their house.
Yes.
And this is a big deal because humans allegedly don't come out if they go into this forest.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, he's carrying these two injured guys following the tree spirits through the forest. And when they come out on the other side, they find Irontown, which is where all those people were going with that rice. They mine the ore under the sand and under the mountain in this part of the country.
Okay.
Lady Eboshi runs this tight ship. There are a lot of people living here, and it appears that they're thriving.
Are they existing outside of the shogunate?
No.
What shogunate's gonna let a woman run this this society? Like,
Well, it's not like they're operating outside of it. It's more like they don't care that a woman's in charge. They just want the ore. Like, Lord Asano, the local daimyo, he really, really wants a piece of her action, and she's not giving up on it.
Let me get a dime, yo.
No.
Sorry.
Stop! Absolutely not.
I'm sorry.
God.
Koroku's wife is among those to greet them at the water's edge.
Yeah, Jada Pinkett Toki.
This is Toki. I love Toki.
That's just great. How are you ever going to drive the ox now all banged up and mangled?
But my little flower.
You scared me half to death. Don't you little flower me. I wish the wolves had eaten you. Then maybe I could have found a real husband.
Sweetness, could we discuss this later?
Thanks, stranger. My husband's an idiot, but I'm glad he's safe and sound.
That's a relief. I was starting to think I'd done something wrong by bringing him back home.
Ashitaka is very popular with the women of Irontown.
Imagine fucking that.
Like, they're like, oh, a boy!
A prince! Indeed.
The women of Irontown are probably one of my favorite character groups, I guess I should call them. Mm. They're funny, and they're fierce, and they're fortified. They are like the backbone of this entire process. If they're not working that bellows, then the forge can't run.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of them are sex workers, whose contracts were bought by Lady Eboshi so they could come live there. He's eating dinner with all of their husbands, and this is where they give him a little background on Lady Eboshi.
Well, it's true. Everything here has turned upside down since she showed up.
That's right. She's not even afraid of the gods, that woman. Why, you should have seen the way she dealt with Nago. Am I right?
Who's Nago?
Who's Nago, the gigantic boar god? He used to rule this whole forest.
She is the one who put the iron ball in Nago, the boar god that we had at the beginning.
Oh, so that's her fault.
That is her fault.
What the actual fuck?
She shot him.
Why are we not coming down hard on blame for anyone? Like, that's the thing. Why doesn't he immediately, Ashitaka, why isn't he immediately like, fuck you, bitch? Like,
oh, no, he's pretty pissed. He's pretty pissed, but I think he's hedging his bets because he knows he might need this woman's help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in order to mine the ore under the mountain, they had to clear that forest first, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that pissed Nago the boar off. And because Lady Eboshi has firepower in the forms of cannons and rifles and all that stuff, she's keeping the forest spirits at bay. Ashitaka goes to have an audience with Lady Eboshi, and she's asking him about why he's here.
Where is it you come from? Never seen a red elk like that before.
I have come a very long way. I can't tell you more than that.
Answer my lady's question or I'll cut you in half.
What do you plan to do? What exactly are you here for?
To see with eyes unclouded by hate.
Eyes unclouded?
I love her cackling at him. First of all, it's Minnie Driver. And second of all, it's just, I don't know, there's something delicious about it.
I mean, money is money. I don't know what all this love-hate shit is, you know? Like,
no, see, that's part of the commentary.
Yes.
And she's like, follow me if you want to know how I'm keeping all this shit on lockdown. And he follows her into her private garden. And there's like this building out there in the garden where there are a bunch of lepers making rifles for her.
Uh-oh.
And at first I was like, now wait a minute. Is this a situation where she is like
exploiting sick people for labor?
Yeah, but then I thought, well, no, actually, because these people would be banished from society otherwise and have no one to take care of them.
Aw, so let's not take care of them, let's put them to work.
Well, no, she does take care of them.
Okay, whatever.
One of the lepers in the corner says as much. He's like, she treated us like people and, like, nursed our wounds and gave us a place to stay.
I'm so sorry. This is the part of the movie I fell asleep in.
Okay.
I'm sorry, honey. I'm so burnt at both ends. Yeah.
She's making all these guns so she can fight the forest gods.
Which, what the fuck? It's like the 13th century or whatever. Guns?
He's like, I can't believe you're going to put more hatred out in the world just so you can mine ore.
Okay. I'm sensing us shifting the evil. I'm sensing us putting a face to it.
First you steal the boar's forest from him, then transform him into a demon. Now you're making even deadlier weapons. How much more hatred and pain do you think we need?
Yes, I'm the one who shot the boar. And I'm sorry that you suffer. I truly am. That brainless pig. I'm the one he should have put a curse on, not you.
She wants to kill the great spirit of the forest so that all the animals will go back to being normal animals. It's the great spirit of the forest that makes creatures like Moro, or like the boar that we saw earlier.
Okay.
If she kills the spirit, they'll all go back to being normal animals.
Can we please ask the question, why is the Great Spirit doing that in the first place?
I think it's because man ravaged the earth and the earth needs something to protect it.
But isn't the earth being ravaged? Like...
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's going well. This is where she mentions San again.
When the forest has been cleared and the wolves wiped out, this desolate place will be the richest land in the world. And Princess Mononoke will become human.
Princess Mononoke?
Princess of the spirits of ghouls, beasts, and ancient gods. The wolves stole her soul and now she lives to kill me. The legends say the blood of the great forest spirit can heal anything. Perhaps it could cure my poor lepers. Might even be able to lift your curse, Ashitaka.
Mononoke are spirits that can possess people, poison them from the inside, maybe even cause death. Mm. I think the reason they gave it that name was to characterize the hatred that lives inside San, especially her hatred for humans.
Inside San?
Inside San. Cut to San, infiltrating Irontown. I wrote, she fast!
Everybody's too fast.
She's doing the full Naruto run.
They put crack in this movie. Everybody's too fast.
Everybody in town grabs a cannon, a rifle, or a glaive, and Eboshi's not hiding. She comes right out, and she's very, oh, Ranishii, you and I have unfinished business.
What is a glaive?
It's a long-handled weapon with a curved blade.
Like the communism logo?
I'm
kidding.
That's a sickle.
It is a sickle.
Which is different. That's got a way shorter handle.
Yeah.
San gets pinned down by cannon fire, and she's a rolling down the roof.
She's down. We got her.
Stay back. Cut off a wolf's head, and it still has the power to bite.
What?
Take aim where she falls.
Right.
That is a beautiful piece of foreshadowing right there.
I remember that.
And San immediately regains all of her faculties and goes straight for Lady Eboshi, who is ready for her.
Uh-oh.
She's got this small knife. I forget what it's called. I looked it up, but I've already forgotten. And they are like sparring, full on sparring with each other in the middle of everything.
I'm kind of sad I missed it.
Because like, you were still asleep.
I'm really sorry. Like,
it was very cool.
Keep going. I will wake back up soon.
Ashitaka's arm starts to light up. It's getting stronger and stronger.
What?
And he goes to separate them.
What do you think you're doing, boy?
Stay your hand. The girl's life is now mine.
I'm sure she'll make a lovely wife for you.
There's a demon inside of you. It's inside both of you.
Look, everyone! This is what hatred looks like. This is what it does when it catches hold of you. It's eating me alive, and very soon now it will kill me. Fear and anger only make it grow faster.
Ashitaka stuns both Lady Eboshi and San. Like, just kind of like... just taps them and they're out. I don't know what's going on there. Mm-hmm. And he takes San over his shoulder to leave. He puts her on Yakul and they are going up the mountain. And this is about the time when he passes out from blood loss.
Well, it's about time.
He literally falls right off that elk and cracks his melon on the ground. Not the wolf pup chewing on his head. And San's immediately pissed at him for stopping her from killing Lady Eboshi. Like, she just starts at an 11 with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the hate. Hate, hate, hate. Hate, hate, hate. Double hate.
Loathe entirely.
Because he a people. He's a human.
Why did you stop me from killing her? Tell me while you're still alive.
I didn't want them to kill you. That's why.
I'm not afraid to die. I'd do anything to get you humans out of my forest.
I knew that. From the first moment I saw you.
And I'm not afraid of you! I should kill you for saving her!
She's about to kill him, and he calls her beautiful? She's probably never had a positive interaction with a human in her life, and that's how it starts.
Like, this absolutely forced love connection thing going on here.
I don't know that I think it's forced.
Oh, it's forced.
Okay, all right.
How are we supposed... There needed to be so much time.
I know.
For them to get... Just saying.
And guys, this is where I wrote, so the spooky ape tribe shows up. wanting Ashitaka for themselves. They want the man creature.
That's why that made absolutely no goddamn sense to me.
Because you were still asleep when the apes came around?
Yeah. And then they showed up later, and I was like, what?
Yeah, no.
Anyway.
They want to eat him so they can steal his strength.
Oh, no!
Yeah!
The
apes are pissed because the humans keep ripping down the trees they're planting to replenish the forest.
If we eat the human, we will steal his strength and we will drive the other humans away.
Give us the man creature.
Stop this! You know you can't possess the human strength by eating them! All that'll do is make you into something else. Something even worse than human.
We plant trees. Humans tear them up. The forest does not come back. If we kill the humans, we will save the forest.
But San won't let them have the man creature, which every time I heard that, it reminded me of the Jungle Book. Man cub!
Man cub, yes.
This whole time this conversation is taking place, Ashitaka is like groaning on the ground.
Because he's like, you know, dying.
Yeah, that's where I wrote the SpongeBob reference.
Sprinting! I just gotta keep sprinting!
Sitting.
Bleeding.
San puts him back on Yakul and drags him back to her home in the forest. It's the most gorgeous swamp I think I've ever seen in my life.
Aww.
It is. It's so pretty. Some of those scenic shots with all the light and the water and all of these little, quote, islands, these mounds of earth throughout the swamp. And she drags him to this particular little landmass and then takes the liberty of freeing his elk. She literally takes the reins off of Yakul and says, you're free. You can go anywhere now.
What?
And he's sitting in the water like, no thanks. I think I'll stay with my master.
He's so cute.
He is.
A good boy.
He is a good boy.
Oh.
And she places Ashitaka like half in the water, half on the little landmass, and is letting the river heal his wounds. I think that's what she's going for here.
Why the fuck can't we do that?
Why can't we have healing rivers and lakes and swamps?
Like, what if I get cancer? Why can't I just go sit in water and it be okay?
Yeah, I wish it were that simple.
What?
Guys, it's time to talk about the Nightwalker.
The great spirit of the forest?
Yes, yes. The Nightwalker is what the great spirit of the forest turns into at night. Because during the day, it kind of looks like an elk or an antelope or something with many different horns. But by night, it is a big walking Godzilla-type creature. Like, it's like Godzilla big, but it's translucent.
It's walking around like that at night?
Yeah, it's walking around like that
at night.
Does
no one look up?
No, like, they know it's there.
Okay.
They know it's there. It's documented. I know. I'm sure the first person that ever saw it died of fright.
Guys, have you seen that thing at night? What thing? The thing.
That thing.
You gotta go outside and look up.
All the Kodama are so jazzed seeing the Nightwalker. They're just like waving their arms and going, yay! It brings me joy. And then at dawn, it turns back into the giant deer thing.
Well, thank God.
When it shrinks down to size and it's blowing wind in the trees and all the Kodama are like, wee!
I don't like its eyes.
I know. Its eyes are...
It's got feral written all over it.
This is where we finally get a good look at its deer form. And it's really cool with all the many antlers and, like, the bird feet. But then you get to its face, and you're like, something's not right.
Yes, yeah, it's not looking at me right.
There's something wrong with that spirit.
There's something behind the eye. There's something wrong with that person.
Exactly. It's supposed to have like a human face, but I wouldn't even describe it as human. I would just describe it.
It literally looks like a stag.
Yeah,
like
it's disconcerting. And guys, it walks on water.
Oh, we're gonna get letters about this.
Yeah. So we finally see Jigo again, and I'm actually kind of upset that we have to talk about it, but we're gonna. He is out here in the woods with some goons in animal skins. These are hunters. He has specifically employed these people to help him track down the spirit so they can cut off its head. Because the Emperor seems to think that the head is gonna grant him immortality. Why? It's not clear, but he's going to pay a pretty price for this thing's head.
I really wish we could have left him behind.
Jigo, yeah.
At the beginning of the plot. Like, the fact that we're returning and in this way, I was just like, I didn't have high hopes for the Billy Bob Thornton character, but...
I literally wrote, Jigo, you disappoint me.
You disappoint me.
And they're, like, observing all of these boar in the forest. And they are literally amassing for war. The boar are going to war with the humans.
Please leave.
Rhyming's fun.
The boar's going to war. It's a boar war.
They are led by Okoto. He's the biggest, oldest, ugliest boar. And
yeah, he is.
Gavin went, oh, no, not the piggy eye crusties.
Ew, yeah.
That one's Okoto.
Can't be. They say he died 100 years ago.
It's him, all right. I know those old tusks, and it looks like he brought along his whole tribe.
He's seen us. Let's get out of here.
And Okoto scares Jigo and his goons off, and I'm like, oh, God, I just know that's going to come back, and I'm going to hate it. And I was right about that.
You were right, yeah.
When Ashitaka wakes up in that swamp, his bullet wound is healed, but the curse is still present. So,
which, what the fuck? What are you good for, great spirit of the forest? Come on!
Oh my God.
Wasn't this the point?
And guys, the boar clan shows up to confer with the wolf clan about going to war with the humans. They're like, hey, we're going to hit them first. We're going to take these humans out before they can take us out. Oh, God, guys, this is where we hear Moro's voice for the first time. This creeps me out. I don't know what it is about these gods and whatever vocoder they're running this dialogue through, but it just, I don't know, it's like it's scratching the inside of my head. I don't like it.
You cannot win against the humans. Their guns will destroy you all.
Look on my tribe, Moro. We grow small and we grow stupid. We will soon be nothing but squealing game that the humans hunt for their meat.
You'd risk everything on one last battle. That's just what the humans want.
I do not ask for the help of the wolf tribe. Even if every one of us dies, it will be a battle the humans will never forget.
Lord Okoto arrives, and this is where San realizes that Okoto is blind, and Okoto can smell the curse on Ashitaka.
Yikes.
Yeah! He wants to lead one last all-out battle against the humans, because either the humans are going to get to the forest spirit and kill it, and they all will go back to being normal animals, or we get to them first and make sure that doesn't happen. One way or another, we're going to war. Mm-hmm. And Moro's like, I'd love to help you out, man, but I've been shot and poisoned, and I'd just rather not.
Yeah.
I need some downtime.
I need to tap out.
Some self-care is needed. Meanwhile, Lord Asano's men are attacking another supply train to Iron Town. He wants half the iron that they are producing, and Lady Eboshi's like, no. We're not doing
that. Sorry about you. Yeah.
And if she defeats the forest gods, she can mine more ore and build up their weapons supply and then go to war with Asano. That's like her whole motivation for wanting to get to this forest spirit and kill it.
So everyone's wrong.
Everyone is kind of wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
Jigo is here. They are in cahoots.
I've got the Emperor breathing down my neck. And you're busy playing war with Lord Asano.
And you would have nothing to do with Lord Asano being here now, would you?
Of course not. Whatever made you think that?
He'll call a truce if I give him half my iron.
Is that right? Well, he's a greedy bastard, isn't he? But all the same, you might as well let him have his iron. Listen, Eboshi, the boars are gathering for battle. And you know what that means. You made me a promise. Now, once you get me the head of the forest spirit, then we can come back and destroy Lord Asano together, huh?
Jigo asks Eboshi if a stranger on a red elk has been through here. And she goes, oh yeah, that annoying little pain in the ass, he's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. He took off into the forest with Wolf Girl. Lady Eboshi instructs all of the women of Iron Town to stay back during this fight with the forest gods. They got to keep themselves armed in case Jigo's riflemen decide to pull a mutiny, right? Mm-hmm. They are hired guns and they answer to Jigo, not her. So she's like, just everybody keep a gun on you. We'll get through this.
I can deal with forest gods. It's humans I'm worried about. Once the forest spirit is dead, we don't know what will happen. Will Jigo be satisfied with the creature's head, or will he be after my ironworks as well? Jigo's riflemen may turn on us, and if that happens, I'll need every one of you here to fight them. Remember, you can't trust men.
Period.
That's what she says!
Period.
She's like, remember, you can't trust men!
Yeah, and you can't.
God! When Ashitaka wakes up, he is in Moro's den, next to a sleeping San. It's actually kind of cute. Like, she's letting him sleep on her bedroll while she sleeps on the ground.
Ah, this is where I woke up.
Yeah, is it, ironically, ironically where they're sleeping is when you woke up.
Yeah. Sorry.
And he goes outside the den, and it's nighttime outside, and he's looking around, and Moro is, like, sitting right over his head on top of the den. And, again, there is just something about Moro that is terrifying and intriguing. It's both in the animation and in the vocal performance. Like, there's something that's saying to me, I want to know this creature, but I'm also terrified of this creature. She could literally chomp me in half.
It's the Gillian Anderson of it all,
really. It probably is.
Yeah.
It probably
she
is.
She knows what she's doing.
I'd let her chomp me in half.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
What?
Nothing.
He asks Moro, why can't the humans and the forest spirits live together?
Can't we all just get along? Sorry.
The humans are gathering for the final battle. The flames of their guns will burn us all.
And what happens to San? What's your plan? Let her die with you?
Typical. Selfish. You think like a human. San is my daughter. She is of the wolf tribe. When the forest dies, so does she.
You must set her free! She's not a wolf, she's human!
Silence, boy! How dare you speak to a god like that?
Why do we think the forest is gonna die?
I don't think she thinks it's gonna happen. I think she thinks that if it does happen, her daughter, this human child, is just gonna go with it.
And why?
Because she's part of it. It's a part of her.
But she's a human being.
Yes! Again, to quote Milo from Atlantis, she's a part of it. It's a part of her. I'm doing the best I can here.
No, but, like, she's not a god.
No, she's not. But she is, like, a servant of the god. Like,
she's not going to die if the forest dies.
I think it's metaphorical. I think she thinks that
metaphorical?
It's metaphorical.
There's a recount in Florida?
Yes.
Sorry, okay.
It's metaphorical.
Metaphorical.
She's so sick of him, she tells him to leave the forest in the morning.
Yeah, when she's like, be gone when I get up.
She makes sure he does, too. She gets one of the pups to follow him all the way out of the forest.
Mm.
And he asks the pup to give his little sister's crystal dagger to San. And
I'm like, yeah, big riz there, Ashitaka.
I think it's cute.
Yeah, it is.
It's adorable.
Cute, considering how we're never going to see her again.
The sister?
Yeah.
Lady Eboshi is leading the humans to the forest, and they're doing this kind of smart thing where they're burning incense or leaves or something that, like, makes your eyes sting.
It's straight weed.
If only,
they're
right?
They're gassing the forest.
They're trying to mess with the animal's sense of smell.
Yeah, which because humans are actually very smelly.
Yeah, that's why the hunters are wearing the animal pelts,
mm-hmm,
so that the animals won't smell their human scent.
Like in The Walking Dead.
A little bit, yeah.
When they smear shit all over them so that they won't, yeah.
Indeed, mm. Yes. Moro knows that they've got something cooking down there, and that the boars are probably running into a trap.
Oh no, must warn. Please don't.
San wants to go help because Okoto's blind. Like, I don't know how he thinks he's going to go through all this, but she's like, I want to go help him out.
Mother, I have to go. Okoto's blind. I must be his eyes. You understand?
Do as you must. You know, that boy wanted to share his life with you.
I hate him. I hate all humans.
And I'm like, oh, honey, I hate humanity too, but we gotta leave room for some exceptions.
I mean, I fucking guess I'm about done at this point, but like,
She's got a lot of hate inside of her, and I really don't blame her. From her origin to right now, humans have not given her reason to like them.
Yeah, no, she's fine. Yeah.
She's fine. She's fine.
She's fine where she's at.
Her hate is valid.
It is.
Ashitaka arrives back at Irontown to discover that it's overrun with samurai.
What the fuck?
Like, the ladies with guns are doing an okay job of keeping them at bay, but they're not gonna last very much longer.
Exactly.
Even if they did bring guns to the knife fight, they're still outnumbered. And the way Yakul literally leaps over the samurai and, like, jumps into the lake and is running on the bottom of the lake.
Is there anything this Aminal cannot do?
He gets to the shore, and the ladies are poking their heads out of the windows, the place where you stick the guns through to fire them.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, we don't need no man, but we also might need a man.
Can you go get all the men that are going after gods and demons in the woods right now, please?
Hey, sir, I've still got your bow and arrows.
Aren't you going to tell him you've got his cloak and saddle, too?
Oh, I do?
Oh, you're useless.
Many thanks, Kuroku. I'll try and bring you some help. Can you hold out?
Don't worry. We can always pour hot iron on him.
Bring back Lady Eboshi!
And don't take too long.
The samurai, however, are going to make it complicated for him to get back to Eboshi. They're chasing him back into the forest, and one of them gets your sweet baby Yakul with the arrow in the leg.
No, I was like, if this is the end?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I was like, if this is the end of Yakul? I'm turning it off. I'm gonna turn it off.
In protest.
And I already missed so much of it.
And Ashitaka is like, oh, I know you did not just fuck with my best friend.
Might I suggest you don't fuck with my sis.
He draws his blade and the curse is like spreading all over his hand. And he cuts that samurai's arms all the way off as he's running at him. And the thing that makes me bust, he follows that move up by catching an arrow that an archer...
Oh, bitch, yeah, when he catches that arrow.
And then immediately knocks it and kills the guy that sent it over to
him. I said audibly, he did not. I was like, whoa.
Stay back!
There's two more coming. He decapitates one of them with an arrow, and the way the remaining one just casually turns around, like,
indeed.
Nope, not today, Satan. Oh my god, it's a great fight scene.
It is.
Ashitaka leads Yakul by the reins to the battlefield where the boars and the humans are fighting each other. And there's a lot of dead pork laying around.
Crispy.
Lots of dead men as well. He's telling the remaining men that the village is under attack. And remember when Moro said they were planning something down there?
I was right in the front line. I saw everything. Everything.
What happened?
I'm not sure. Everything started happening so fast. It was like a nightmare.
Jigo's troops put us in front as bait to lure the boars in. They didn't tell us about the landmines under our feet. Or the grenades coming in on top of us.
The thing that's horrible about this is that only Jigo's men knew about the landmines on the battlefield that they planted.
Oh!
None of the Irontown men knew about them. That's how most of them died.
They kill their own people?
Yeah, they didn't tell everybody about the mines. They were basically using the Irontown men as bait to draw the boar closer, and then all the landmines went off.
We need to cancel Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah!
And I know that this is on the character, not on Billy Bob Thornton, but I think it's as good a reason as any.
You're happy to give him credit for it.
To cancel Billy Bob Thornton.
Jigo gets intel that Otoko and one of the pups and San are headed back into the realm of the forest spirit. Because Otoko's hurt bad. He's been shot a lot. He's for sure been poisoned by now, and San wants the forest spirit to heal him so he doesn't become a demon like Nago. And guys, the spooky apes are back!
Yeah, no, that was completely out of context for me. Because when they showed up and started talking from the treetops, I was like, excuse me? And I was like, well, you did fall asleep, so... Yeah.
The monkeys are here, and you're like, I beg your unbelievable pardon?
I should have known it was you.
You did this. Because of you, the forest will die.
You're wrong. We've all been fighting to save it. This is the thanks you give us?
You bring bad things.
Bad things coming, neither human nor animal.
What do you mean, neither human nor animal?
They're shaming her for bringing all of this ruin into the forest. And I'm like, this child did nothing to no one. This part's nopey, because the boars that have been killed, the humans have skinned the boars and are now wearing their pelts as, like, disguises.
Because Otoko's, like, perking up.
Yeah, he thinks they're his soldiers.
And he's like, oh, they're back from the dead. We're going to go in, what are they going to do?
They're going to go find the Great Spirit.
They're like, oh, you'll come with me and we'll find the Great Spirit. They're back from the dead.
They've come back. My warriors. They have come back to me from the land of the dead. Forward, my warriors!
Okoto, listen!
Forward to the
Okoto.
Pool of the forest spirit!
No, wait!
San's like, no, dude, those are literally human beings in hollowed out boar carcasses. Because, like, when you see them in the background,
the way they're moving,
there's no color in their eyes.
Yeah, they're
not! And I'm like, I literally looked at that, like, the in shadow boar in the back of the frame. I was like, something's wrong with that pig.
Yeah! It's not alive.
It's not alive. And San.
Yes.
Not Sen. It's not different Sen. Ghibli. San's like, listen, it's a trick. You're going to lead them right to the Great Spirit who they want to kill.
Yeah, no, you're playing right into their hands.
Again, can I just say, what's the point of being the Great Spirit of the forest if you can't be killed?
Otoko is in a bad way. The demon worms are starting to crop up on him, and San is just trying to wipe them off. And a human reaches out from under one of those boar pelts and, like, pelts her with a stone and knocks her unconscious.
Ow.
And she falls over on Otoko's snoot.
Oh, no, and she gets sucked to his side. She's getting wormed into the demon.
Not getting wormed.
She is. She's getting wormed into the demon.
And so one of the pups takes Ashitaka to Lady Eboshi in the forest so he can tell her about the attack on Irontown. And he's like, listen, lady, you got bigger problems back home. You can't be out here hunting gods when your people are under attack.
And she's like, you could be lying. And I'm like, what?
She's like, I don't really feel like it.
And the way she's literally like, those bitches can take care of themselves.
Lady Eboshi!
And she's like, I have a deity to kill,
yeah,
so that I can mine rocks.
The definition of bigger fish to fry.
When Ashitaka's like, I literally just want us all to be peaceful.
That's so much to ask.
And she's like, tomato, tomato, get out of my way.
What proof is there this isn't a lie?
Lie? Don't be ridiculous. What reason do I have to lie?
So it's don't kill the forest gods. Now you want us to kill samurai instead.
No! What I want is for the humans in the forest to live in peace!
Just whose side is he on, anyway?
Shouldn't we go back?
The women are on their own now. I've done all I can for them. They can take care of themselves.
Ashitaka finds Moro lying half-dead on the bank of this pool in the forest, and here comes Otoko with San still lying across his snoot. Up to the edge of the pool.
Uh-oh.
Worms.
I
hate it. It's so disconcerting. It makes me itchy. It makes me feel like these
you
things...
You didn't have to say that.
Yeah, no, it makes me
See,
itchy.
See, because you know who it wasn't making itchy up until this very moment?
Was it you?
It was me.
And now I've ruined it.
You.
Soiled it. Soiled it. Ashitaka jumps right up there and tries to free her from the tangle of worms. As soon as she sees him, she's shocked to see him there risking his life for her. But the thing is that this doesn't work. You know, Otoko completely throws him. So Moro is struggling to her feet, groaning, well, I guess I have to do everything around here, and starts attacking him so he'll let go of her kid.
Exactly.
And guys, here comes the forest spirit walking out on the water. Boshi loads one of those guns and fires a bullet through its head, but the bullet goes in and out and it just kind of bloop, like reforms into the correct shape.
Yeah.
And the guys are like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a god. It's going to take more than one shot, boys.
Yes.
While she's reloading, Ashitaka retrieves San from Moro's jowls and takes her into the healing water, right?
That's right, yes.
And the forest spirit comes over to Otoko and to Moro and gives them a little smooch,
mm-hmm.
and they die.
Sometimes it's the best thing, you know?
Like, I think it's to stop their suffering.
Exactly.
Yes, and it's just so, I had forgotten about that part of it.
Uh-huh.
And when that deer kissed that boar on the snoot, and it just keeled over completely, I was like, oh, thank God, that's over for him.
No more itch.
No more itch. Night is falling, so the spirit is starting to change into the Nightwalker. Its neck is starting to grow. It's getting taller. And Eboshi turns to all the men, and she's like, watch this.
Now watch closely, everyone. I'm going to show you how to kill a god. A god of life and death. The trick is not to fear him.
That's just such a great line.
How is she not the villain?
I think you can look at it in a couple of different ways.
But what if I don't want to?
Okay,
what if I just want a concise narrative? What if I just...
It makes you uncomfortable, not knowing who the heroes and the villains are exactly. I get it. She points that rifle at the spirit as it's changing, and it's just kind of staring at her. And flowers start to grow out of her gun. And she blows that thing's head off. I thought originally that it wasn't going to be possible for her to do it, but she does. She blows that god's head off.
This doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
I know.
That's a gun.
Uh-huh.
And this is a spirit.
Yeah.
Have you ever shot a ghost?
No, I haven't.
Really? And even if you shot a ghost, what would happen to the bullet? It'd go straight through it, right? Given how ghosts work.
Yeah, well, it's a spirit, not a ghost. It's not translucent.
Shut the fuck up.
All right.
They are hardly different.
I don't know how to describe what happens next other than what I settled on in my notes, because the skin of the spirit starts to, like, slough off, and it's revealing what I described as a grape soda-like blob. That grape soda.
Grape soda blob. Okay. It's the Nightwalker.
It's purplish. Yeah, but it's like a corrupted version of the Nightwalker. It's got much less form. And the key thing here is that it no longer has its head. It's starting to attach itself to the trees, ejecting those poor Kadama from the branches.
Aren't the Kadama like dying?
I don't think they're dying, but they're being evicted for sure.
It looks a lot like they're dying.
Maybe they are. Oh no. When you destroy the trees, maybe they get destroyed too.
I would probably guess so.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Lady Eboshi runs to pick up the forest spirit's head and put it in this special box that we've brought for the occasion. And the...
the drum?
Yeah, the big drum.
The drum that they're going to put the head in?
And the grape soda blob has, by this point, eaten through the neck of Moro's corpse. And for some reason, I don't know how it's happening, but that head is still animated.
It is.
And
it is still taking care of business.
It is slithering over to Lady Eboshi, and it jumps somehow without legs and bites her arm clean off.
Good.
Watch out! Lady!
I told you a wolf's head can still bite.
Come on!
Ooh, I love that part so much. That's so satisfying. Because also, Moro has been talking the whole movie about how she wants to, like, chomp down on that gun lady.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost exactly what she says.
Yes.
And so Gonza, the guard captain, freaks out, scoops Eboshi up in his arms, and Ashitaka has him follow him into the water so they can heal her wound and save her life. San is incensed by this.
San is incensed?
San is incensed because he's saving her after everything she's done to her home.
Yeah.
I love it when she's giving it to him.
You have got to help us.
No! You're on their side. You always were. Take that damn woman and just go away!
San.
Never! I hate all of you humans!
Yes, I'm human, San. And so are you.
Stop it! I'm a wolf, you hear?
San.
Stay back!
And he hugs her and tells her he's sorry. And, like, he's like, listen, I know this is not perfect. I know this is less than ideal and it's not what you want. But if we work together, we can put an end to this.
Yay. I'm sorry. Carrie.
Yeah.
Editing Carrie.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. I love you so much. I'm just so tired.
I know, honey.
I'm really sorry.
And you got to work a full day at the state tomorrow.
I know, honey. I do like this. I want you to know I liked the movie.
Okay, good.
Editing Carrie, I really did like the movie.
That of it that he saw.
And yes. I'm glad that you like it. And I appreciate that you like it a lot.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Meanwhile, the Nightwalker is literally stooped over, feeling around for his head like, hey, man, that's not cool.
Hey, man, that's not cool.
And the head is moving around inside the box, trying to get the body to come over in that direction to pick it up.
Yeah, like, over here, over here.
I'm over here, you ninny, a little to the left.
Yes.
The goo starts to infiltrate Irontown as well. Like, it's spreading out, and it's destroying everything.
Everybody get in the water.
Yeah, Toki is taking some super-duper responsibility, trying to get all the people out of the village. And, like, we love to see the women doing the work of 10 men, thank you.
Absolutely.
Love to see it. And Ashitaka and San finally catch up to the men with the spirit's head in the box, including Jigo.
Who should just be assassinated by this point. Like, he's actually willing to let everything crumble.
Yeah.
Everything.
For money.
Come on, son! Run!
Open the box.
Don't you see? It's too late for that now.
Why are you wasting your breath talking to him?
Human hands must return it.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Ashitaka walks up to him and goes, I'll be having that head back now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they return it, if humans return it, this might have some semblance of returning to normal.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to have to prepare me a little for this. Because the way this all wraps up, what the fuck?
I know.
Okay?
I know.
All right.
And so they get that box open.
I'm sorry. Was there goo in the drum?
No, I don't think
Where'd
so.
Where'd the goo come from? Why is it green?
I wrote, why is it all gooey now?
No.
It's so disgusting.
So, like, when San and Ashitaka take that head out the drum and hold it in the air like they've just won a campaign.
They're offering the head back to the Nightwalker.
Like...
Forest Spirit, we give you back your head. Take it and be at peace.
And the Nightwalker's like, oh yeah, there it is. And starts slurping its neck downward at them to reattach the head.
It's reabsorbing the head. And
but it doesn't, Carrie.
It doesn't quite, no, because the sun comes up. And instead of turning back into the deer thing, the Nightwalker falls over. When that happens, the essence of the forest spirit causes all of this greenery to suddenly grow up on every surface it's touched. That shot lasted for so long of the landmass where Irontown was. And I was like, why is nothing happening? And then slowly but surely... the greenery all comes back at once.
Okay, that's really nice, Carrie. That's like all well and good and nice.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, it attempted to reattach its head before the fucking sun came up.
You don't think it was fair? It was right there on the button.
Why?
I know.
It could have stayed in charge. It could have, like, it's a spirit, goddammit. Why isn't it more powerful?
That's why I like my interpretation that it's making this choice consciously in order to replenish the land after Eboshi and her people have taken so much from it.
So no more demons.
Well,
no more gods.
Nope, we still have gods and demons.
No, you said that they would all disappear.
I did say that.
And I remember them saying it in the movie, too.
Yeah, so I'm not really sure.
So no more gods, no more demons, right?
Maybe, I guess not. I mean, those wolves don't change.
Thank God. We should at least take deities out of the equation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, all the greenery comes back, right?
And because Ashitaka helped give the head back, his curse is shrinking. It's going away. He's going to live.
Son, look.
This is just like the ending last week.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
How is it?
It makes little sense to me, and it's abrupt.
Yeah, well, you also missed a lot of the middle of the movie.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters. I'm sorry I fell asleep.
And guys, there is no dramatic turnaround for San at the end of this movie, which I honestly think I prefer it that way, because if she was just suddenly like, oh, I love humans now, that would have really pissed me off.
The great forest spirit is dead now.
Never. He's life itself. He's not dead, San. He's here right now, trying to tell us something. That it's time for both of us to live.
Ashitaka, you mean so much to me, but I can't forgive the humans for what they've done.
I understand. You'll live in the forest, and I'll go help them rebuild Irontown. I'll always be near. Yakul and I will come and visit you whenever we can, all right?
She's not fucking with humans, but she does fuck with Ashitaka. You know what I'm saying?
Cut after cut after cut after cut of characters saying things that are going to happen now. All within 30 fucking seconds before the credits roll. So what's gonna happen, Carrie?
Ashitaka is gonna go help Irontown build itself back up. He's gonna go visit San in the forest from time to time.
But not be her boyfriend.
Yeah, or...
We're just gonna be friends at the end of this.
Yeah, not be her Tarzan or anything like that.
So why were we ever even playing around with a connection? And
hey,
then what's the one arm wonder Lady Eboshi gonna do?
She is vowing out loud, like you just said, to build a better world.
Amazing. The wolves and that crazy little wolf girl helped save us all. Ashitaka, can someone find him? I need to thank him. We're going to start all over again. This time we'll build a better town.
Well, I give up. You can't win against fools.
I don't know. I feel like when that wolf chomped off her arm, all of the potential evil got chomped off.
Yeah, well, I wake up sometimes and say I'm not going to eat bread today. And you know what?
Yeah?
Doesn't always work out like that, does it?
You're killing me.
It's the way she literally says, we're going to build a better town. And within 10 seconds, the credits are rolling.
It is abrupt.
No ending narration, no nothing like that.
It did need some bookending narration. That was so crucial.
Explain some themes to us, get us to understand, you know.
Well, you know, I think you want to imagine that things are going to be better, but there is also the possibility that they aren't going to be better.
I mean, it's not even a possibility. They wouldn't be better. Do you know about Japan since the 14th century?
A little bit,
yeah.
It got bad.
It got worse.
It got dark.
It did.
It got very dark.
Yes.
I think also one of the larger messages of the movie is that the further that man strays from nature and is given to industry and manufacturing.
And becoming cyborgs.
And becoming cyborgs? Mm-hmm. Cyborgs?
Yeah, cyborgs.
No, maybe not cyborgs, but the further we stray from nature, the more perverted we become as a species. We're more given...
Oh, yeah, shit. Half the shit we do today ain't fucking natural.
No.
So, like...
We're more given to greediness, capitalistic ideals, selfishness, the further we get from nature. And listen, nature's scary.
Damn, like, nature. You scary.
I don't know why people are not more respectful of nature. You know how many things in nature can kill you? And we're just going to evict all these critters from their homes so we can build on it? All right, guys. Naps in the middle of the movie notwithstanding. I think that went well. I think you were a lot less pissed at the end of this recording than last week.
I think I'm equally pissed. You know, I liked the movies, but like... I'm standing there at the end. I don't know. I just feel like I have cinematic blue balls when it comes to both of them so far.
You
but
just
like,
needed a little more there at the end.
I did. I really did. Like,
okay.
This is so pretty. Very pretty movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty. Notably, what's going on? You know, like...
What's going on?
What's the character's motivation? Why the allegiance and the loyalties? They're kind of mixed up. You know, like...
Here we go.
Tell me about fucking next week, your royal weediness.
Next week, we are going to be doing something a lot more recent. Because I didn't want to do 3 Ghiblis in a month. I wanted to do something else outside of Ghibli. Ghibli is the obvious choice.
Of course it is.
We're going to be covering a movie that I saw in theaters when it came out. I was very excited for it because all of the promo material, it looked like the most gorgeous movie in the wide world. And I wanted to see it on a big screen.
Anime 2.0 Part 3 will be...
the 2021 anime film that's a musical sci-fi film, if you can believe it, Belle.
A musical anime?
A musical anime, yeah.
Will all the music be in Japanese?
No, it won't. Look out for that next week, guys. In the meantime, you can go follow us on Twitter at KickNStream.
KickNStream.
You can write the show at kickingandstreamingpodcast@gmail.com.
That's with an and, not an ampersand.
And don't forget, folks, please be practicing the 3 R's, rate, review, retweet.
Rate, review, retweet, folks. We want everyone to come and join our little anime watch party. Hajime mashite, watashi wa Rasakaria desu. Dozo yoroshiku.
That was great. That was great.
More quality content coming to you from Kicking and Streaming.
Until then, I'm Carrie.
Ajime mashite.
And as always,
sorry, Mom.